I guess so. All right, so welcome everybody. Great to see everyone. It's okay.
I'm Naomi Slepian, Henry and Rachel Holland's daughter.
Sure.
And Dina grew up across the street.
Yeah, okay, great. So glad to have you. Okay, we're so glad to have those who are returnees, those who are new. The one thing to remember always is that sometimes people make a mistake and they say, there are more sheets in the middle. They say, oh, look, I didn't come for like 3 weeks or 5 weeks or six, whatever. I can't come back. And the answer is every shear is separate. We don't build one on the other. I mean, we do build, but we don't. Every shear is totally separate. So if you can make it a particular week and you can't make it another week, you should never feel like, oh, I can't come back because like I missed the whole bunch.
Or years.
Some of us are back after years. Yes, good. You can see. You have sheets?
No.
You have sheets? Sheets? Pastor Sheets? So great always to start a new cycle. We never learn Bereishis ever. And we usually don't learn Noach either. And that's always because the week after Yontif, I take off so that I can see human beings again and have human conversation. So I apologize for that, but we're going to start again this year from Lech Lecha. But one day we'll learn some of the Parshios and Devarim, and we'll learn some of the, you know, Bereishis and Noach, but we'll see. Okay, so let's see. I told you I have to start with it. Okay, so this week we are going to talk about a story that is really tucked away a little bit. It's a little tucked away in Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha, as we know, Hashem has already tried Adam. He's tried Noach. Don't go so good. So he finally comes to Avram and says, you know, Hashem just comes to Avram and says, Lech Lecha Me'aretzcha V'Lecha Beis Avicha, takes him out of Bavel and sends him to Eretz Yisrael. And lots to say about why Avram's chosen, etc. But the bottom line is, Hashem chooses him, Avram chooses to listen, which is a big part of it. Avram could have chosen not to listen. And he goes and he heads off to Eretz Yisrael and he starts to do his thing, right? Trying to get people to believe in God, etc. It's part of the conversation once he arrives already in Israel is he has this experience, and we know that Avram brings together with him Lot, his nephew, comes with him, who he kind of takes care of all the way through. The Midrashim fill in because maybe his brother died, etc., Lot's father. But the bottom line is Lot is always with Avram for most of the story until at some point they separate. But Lot's together with Avram, and then he separates from Avram. But then we find out there's a war. There's a war between four kings and five kings. This war has nothing to do with Avram Avinu, except what happens. Take a look at source number one. The Torah tells us, "Vayavo ha-palit v'agela Avram Avi." So some fugitive, some person who's a refugee from the war, comes to Avram, who's called, by the way, Avram ha-Ivri, which means what? Don't say it means the Hebrew, because, yeah, well, we don't even know what it means, right? Ha-Ivri. What is Avram Ivri? He doesn't. They translate Abram the Hebrew. You know, there's no Jews yet, right? So I one time said that Avram was not the first. In the street, I said that Avram was not the first Jew. Because like they're running a Jew, and someone like went crazy on me. I'm like, there's no Jews yet, right? They're not really Jews. But he's not, you know, Avram the Ivri. We're going to talk more about what that means. V'hu shochem Elonim Amre. Amre is living in a place called Elonim Amre. Achi Ashkov, Achi Aner, v'heim balei bris Avram. These are his friends who live with Avram, Enor, Eshkol, and Mamre. V'yishma Avram kinishbachiv. And he hears that his brother, meaning his nephew, Lot, has been taken. V'yarkes chanichav l'idei beso shmona asar u'shlosh mios. V'yardov Adani takes this group of people that are living in his home, and he takes them, and they make a war, and they run to attack. We don't need to get into all the details of the war, but the bottom line is that they win. So he defeats. He wins this war. So he gets back all of the spoils for Sodom and the other kings, and he also gets back Lot. Fine. And lots of money, spoils of war. And also the women and the other people who had been taken captive during the war. Fine. So Avram is very successful. He helps to end the war and bring back the hostages. To be honest, that's what happened. He ends the war and brings back the hostages. And what happens? So now there's going to be some type of conversation that happens at the end of this war. Vayitzei melech Sodom likraso, the king of Sodom comes out to greet Avram. Acharei shivo miakos es kadal omer v'samalachim v'sherito. He defeats kadal omer and the other kings who are with him. El emek shavei hu emek hamelech. And they go into a place called emek shavei, which is the emek hamelech, the valley of shavei, which is the valley of the king, which we'll talk maybe a little bit about what the significance of that name. But now, this is the part I want to talk to you about more. Umalki tzedek, melech shalem, hotzi lechem vayayin v'hu kohen le'elayon. And what happens? So melech Sodom, the king of Sodom, comes to meet Avram, and he's coming back with all his soldiers. And then someone shows up, a guy named Malki Tzedek. And Malki Tzedek is the king of a place called Shalem. Okay? For background, Shalem is not one of the four kings or the five kings. This war between the four kings and five kings did not involve Shalem or Malki Tzedek. He wasn't part of this war. And what does he do? But he shows up. And he shows up with Hotzi Lechem Vayayin. He shows up with bread and wine. And by the way, Malki Tzedek, we're told, is a Kohen. La'el Elyon. How would you define El Elyon or Kael Elyon?
Supreme God,
right? The God of all gods. I don't know, so he's a Kohen for God. Okay? He's like Aaron? Like, what does that mean?
Who? Question?
Yeah, you can ask a lot of questions.
The Hebrew, by that word, says Malki Tzedek. Is it two words?
It's his name, Malki Tzedek.
Okay.
It could be that Malki Tzedek is like Paro. Mm-hmm. Like the king of Shalem was always called Malki Tzedek. Mm-hmm. That might be possible, but we'll see. Fine, but he shows up with food, and he is the Kohen of God, sounds like it. Vayivarchehu, and he blesses Avram, Vayomer, Baruch Avram, Lakel Elyon, Konei Shamayim Va'aretz. Blessed is Abraham, or Abram, to the High King, who is the Konei Shamayim Va'aretz, the creator of heaven and earth. So what is he saying, basically? What's he saying?
He's recognizing God's rulership of the world.
Yeah, like Avram's great, and who thinks he's great? God thinks he's great. He gives Avram a bracha from Hashem, sort of, something like that. I don't mean to be like weird. I'm just like, mm-hmm. It's hard to understand what this is. Right? Ubaruch Elayon, Hashem migain sarecha biyadecha. And also, Baruch Hashem, right? Who migain sarecha biyadecha. Who, how they translated here? And blessed be God Most High who has delivered your foes into your hand, meaning Baruch Hashem that you were successful in the war. Okay. Vayitain lo ma'aser mikol. And what happens? Avram gives 1/10 of all of the stuff that he got. He gives it to who?
Malki Tzedek?
We don't know.
Vayitain lo.
To him.
Okay. So it could be that Malki Tzedek gave Avram a ma'aser, but ma'aser of what? Avram's the one who shows up with all the stuff. So presumably, Avram gives 1/10 of his stuff, the things he's gotten, to Malki Tzedek. Why would he do that?
Is Malki Tzedek is referring to our God, or is what God is referring to?
It's a great question.
I mean, if Avram was the only guy who believed in God,
right?
Then what God is he talking about?
Right. So maybe he's talking about Abraham's God. Maybe that's the whole point. Maybe they talk the same language. I don't know. I'm not pretending to tell you
because
answers yet.
He was a priest of.
Of who? El Elyon. Right. Who's El Elyon? Who is that?
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to be silly. I'm being serious. We don't know, right? I don't know. Okay.
It doesn't sound like Avram giving it to Malki Tzedek. It sounds like Malki Tzedek is giving it to Avram.
It does sound like, because it doesn't say, it should say, Vayitain Avram lo.
Because
he's the one who's still talking. Right. He's the active participant here.
And it's saying Vayitain lo, and he's blessing him. Yeah. He gave it to.
Yeah, it sounds like that. But that's true. We'll have to see if that makes sense. If that really does make sense,
it doesn't.
Right, but it does sound like that.
It doesn't make sense,
but it's strange.
Like
yes, correct.
No, it sounds like Jews.
Can you pass me the tissue that Jess said that I'm gonna need? Thank you.
I think he's a king for anything. He's a sojourner. He's
Malki Tzedek.
Avram is appeasing.
Malki Tzedek.
Like Yaakov appeased Esau and just said, "Calm down."
Like,
I'm giving you things.
Good. Okay, maybe. Good. Good. Fine. So now look what happens.
Is this the?
Yeah.
Is this the Mikol? Like that's the source of Bakol Mikol Kol.
No. Good question. No, that is Bakol Mikol Kol is Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Each use the language of Kol, I think.
Right. Is this the source of the?
I don't think so. Oh, that's a good question. Was Mikol from this case? I don't think so, but we can check. I don't think so. That's a good question. Let's finish the story, though. Vayomer al Melech Sodom el Avram. So now the king of Sodom, like, okay. What? So Melchizedek shows up. So the king of Sodom comes out to see Avram. Melchizedek, like, runs in, gives blessings, brings food and wine, and either gives or gets stuff from Avram. And now Melech Sodom, who had shown up before, he starts to talk, finally. Okay? Like, end intermission. Now, back to Melech Sodom.
We don't know if Melchizedek left or if he's still there for this.
We don't know. Let's read. Let's see. Vayomer Melech Sodom el Avram, Teili hanefesh, v'aruchush kach lach. He says to him, give me the people back, and you can keep the money. Vayomer Avram Melech Sodom, and Avram says back to Melech Sodom, harimosi yadi el Hashem, kel elyon, kone shemayim v'aretz. So what does Avram say? I have lifted my hands to Hashem, who is, by the way, what language? Kelion, who used that language? Melchizedek did. So now, clearly, Avram is referring to Kelion as
Hashem.
Mm-hmm. Right, so presumably, we'll see that they're referring to the same God.
It could be that everyone called their God
Kelion. Could be.
Like Melchizedek could be a different, and Pharaoh could be a different Pharaoh.
It could be, yeah. It could be. Or it could be. It's possible, or it could be that this is a step of approval. Yes, Kel Elyon is my God. Right, that's also possible. No, but Melchizedek say the phrase, Baruch Avram LeKel Elyon Kone Shemayim V'aretz. That's Melchizedek's words. He says that.
But not before.
Yeah, but he's the one who said it. Right, he was called Kohen LeElyon, but he also says it. Good, okay. Fine, so he says, take the stuff and give me the people. Avram says, praise Hashem. I'm not going to take even a shoelace. I'm not taking money from you. This money came as part of the war from the stuff that was taken from Sodom. He's like, I'm not going to take this money. People are going to say that Melech Sodom made me rich. I don't want that. I'm not interested in people telling me that I got money from you. I'm not interested in that. Biladai raka she'achlu ha'ne'arim v'chelek ha'nashim v'she'achlu iti. Let the people who basically let my soldiers take, right, what they need, get them food, drink, whatever, but give them, but I'm not taking anything. End of story. Fine. Huh? What is happening here? So question number one, I think we're all worried about, is who is Melchizedek? Who is this person? And what is his role in the story? He just shows up and starts to talk and brings, like, why does he bring bread and wine? What is that about? No one even responds to him. I mean, Avram does. He responds by giving him 10%.
A lot of stuff.
Why does he do that? Right. What is this? Mm-hmm. What is this whole story? Yes? Any other questions? Those are my questions. Any other questions about the story?
I mean, just everyone referring to Hashem in this way.
Kel Elyon.
He's curious.
Yeah. What is this new phrase? Kel Elyon? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the relationship between the Melchizedek,
Melchizedek? Who are these? Like, are these people connected? They like each other. They hate each other. Like, what is happening here?
Why did he give them 10% of everything?
Why is he giving 10%? Who is Melchizedek? 10% goes to Melchizedek. What is that? Right? Good.
What's 10% of stuff he's not keeping?
Right. So they maybe did keep it. So he kept some of it. He kept enough to give away. We always say that he didn't take anything from Melech Sodom. Like the 10% he gave to Melchizedek, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He can keep.
Fine. So there's a lot of things here that don't seem to make sense at face value. And that's why it's our job to make it make a little bit of sense. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to try to do.
Yeah? It's like Maser. Like, is this a Malach that came in at some point? Like, a Maser that he's giving, like it's a Malach Hashem, and he's giving like Maser to Malach.
Okay.
Taking
well, good. So 10% to a Kohen isn't just 10% to a Kohen, right? 10% to a Kohen is sort of also, that's like our responsibility, right? We have this idea. Meister, Chumas, and Meister, which you're giving to the Kohen, but you're doing what Hashem asks, right? So yeah, maybe some element of that. Good. Which Avram would be doing why? Why is he all of a sudden giving things away?
He won the war.
As a sense of Hakara Shatov, right? Gratitude to Hashem. Look what I didn't accomplish this all on my own, and I turn right away to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I give him some of what I gained because I recognize it's not just me, right? Good, fine, okay. So let's see what we can find. So if you want to find stuff out about the Torah, the first place to go is Rashi. Now look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi. Take a look at source number two. Let's see what Rashi has to say. Okay, source number two. Who is? As always, remind everybody, we usually start with some Hebrew and we always end with some English. So if you don't like Hebrew, don't worry. English is coming. But also, if you don't like the Hebrew, we're going to explain all of it anyway. So we're all in this together. Okay, Umalki Tzedek, says Rashi, Midrash Agadah, Hu Shem Ben Noach. Right, the Medrash says that Malki Tzedek is Shem. Right, you know, I have three children, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Right, Shem, we have a continued experience that Shem, that like Avram and everyone comes, they come from Shem. Right, Cham is the father of Canaan, Yafes is like Rome, etc. comes from Yafes, but Shem is like where we come from. And Shem like shows up many times in the Medrash, right? Where does Yaakov Avinu go to learn when he leaves his family? The Shiva of Shem and Aver, okay? There's this person, Shem, who is around and seems to believe in Hashem. And by the way, like, Avram's the first monotheist. Mm-hmm. It seems like Shem still was into that. By the way, not surprising, he was there for the flood, Shem, right? Shem was one of the three sons of Noah who experienced, he saw the Ribbono Shel Olam, he saw God's hand in the world, right?
Like in the Chumash, you could see the timeline, they list, you know, they show yes, the overlap the, yes. people. It's like mm-hmm. so interesting
yeah.
to see.
So Shem's like still alive.
Yeah, it's like crazy.
Right. Exactly, right? Same people still stay alive.
The flood, like,
good, so right, exactly. So Shem is still living in the time of Avram, which is 10 generations after the flood, but he's still around, according to the Medrash. Fine, okay. And why would it make sense then? Or why would the Midrash make Malki Tzedek Shem? Maybe because he is. But what's another reason why the Midrash would want, what?
Because that's what made him a
monarch. Bingo. Someone who's coming and talking about Harimosi, Adil, Kel Yom, Kone Shemayim Varetz. Who's the guy who's talking about God? Oh, maybe it's Shem, Ben Noah. Because Shem is the one who still believed in God all this time. Right after that. Okay, it's a maybe possibility. Why does he bring lechem v'yayin? Says Rashi, kach osim liyigiyei milchama. That's what you do for people who are tired at war. You bring them barbecue.
Right. I was going to say it.
Barbecue. Like, I didn't have barbecue, but they brought, right? That's what, people are tired at war, you bring them food. Right? V'heralo she'em b'libo alav al shahara gets bun up. So there's a couple of like those little extra letters in there sometimes are the hyperlinks in the byline. So sorry, I forgot to delete them. So he's saying, he's showing him that he's not upset at him for killing his children. What do you mean for killing his children? What is he talking about?
In the war.
What do you mean in the war? Right, they just had a war, and Shem, Cham, and Yafes are the only people, right, after Noach dies, that's it. So every person in the world is either the son or grandson of Shem or his nephew. Right? So when people are killed in the world, Shem is upset. It's his relatives. So he shows up. Why does he say it? Don't worry. Don't feel bad. I know you killed my, whatever they are, right? Seventh, you know, nephew, whatever. It's okay. I'm not upset at you. Midrash Agadah, Ramaz lo al hamenachos va nesachim shiakrivu sham banav. Another medrash that he is coming to. It's like symbolic of bread and wine that's going to be brought in the Beis Hamikdash. Right? You're going to have bread and wine. He's also a kohen.
There is a barbecue.
Yeah, right. There is a barbecue, right? But right, nesachim are brought with wine. Menachos are brought with flour, so it's like a supposed to be like a, you know, symbolic of what will eventually be happening. Okay, why does he call Hashem Kone Shemayim Varetz Kamo Osei Shemayim Varetz? Right, that Hashem is like the one who made the world. Fine. Okay, and who gave who? Look at the bottom Rashi Vayitain Lo. So we had this question, right, Michelle? You pointed out it sounds like Malki Tzedek gave to Avram. So Vayitain Lo says Rashi Avram Meiser Mikol Asher Lo Lefisha Hayah Kohen. Right, why did he give to, meaning, you're right, the language, but you know there's like that book called What's Bothering Rashi? You ever seen that book? Right? So why does Rashi say what he says? Because the normal way to read that is that Malki Tzedek gave to Avram. Says Rashi, no. Someone's giving someone 10%, it must be that Avram is giving to Malki Tzedek. Why? Because he's a Kohen. Again, was there halacha yet to give Maestro to a Kohen? No, there's no Torah yet. But this that's what the whole thing is so interesting. What is happening here?
Like, why would
all this symbolism that like didn't exist yet, right?
Why would it be written like that? Like, why is it written in like a convoluted way? We don't really know.
Oh, why does it say Vayitain Lo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. Unless you want to argue, sometimes like Vayitain Lo is that, yes, on the one hand, Avram physically gives Malki Tzedek the food, but what's also happening? Maybe.
The success in the world came from Hashem.
Okay. Or maybe like Malki Tzedek is also giving something to Avram. We're going to have to see. Right? Maybe there's something that Malki Tzedek is offering Avram. Maybe Avram's the one giving the money, but there's something that Malki Tzedek is offering him. Maybe we'll see. Let's see. Okay, fine. So Rashi is just giving us some like beginnings to start to understand some of the imagery here, at least. Okay.
It doesn't even just explain why it's called Malki Tzedek, or no. Just made a leap of I don't know what.
Shame.
To get to shame.
Right. The Chazal and the Medrash will oftentimes do that. Right? Shifram Pua.
Right.
Who are they?
Right.
It's Miriam like Yocheved. So it's what's called, Rabbi Angel taught me this in YU when I was 20, closed canon approach, which is that the Chazal want the same people coming up over and over again. Mm-hmm. Right? Others don't always do that. But that approach is like, we, for whatever reason, Chazal feel like it's the same, like every bad guy in the Midbar is Nadav and Avihu. Right, like every bad guy,
like
the two guys fighting each other, the two guys, right, the guys who, whatever the bad thing happens in the measures, none of my view. Again, partly because there's like a certain frame that we're supposed to be taking and learning from them, right? It's not just historically what happened, but there's a certain, right, what type of personality is, maybe it's not actually none of my view, but it's that type of none of my view personality that comes up. So same thing.
But this one, sorry.
Yeah?
I'm sorry. We also know that people's, part of their neshama travels to another generation, like Pinchas might have been.
Pinchas is Eliyahu.
Right.
Yeah. It's all kinds of things there. Yes.
So maybe the qualities that he had carried over.
Shame. Yes, okay.
So that's why the name Malkitzedek makes a lot of sense. And that's why I was asking if it's two words in the Hebrew, if it's one, because where's the other time we saw Tzedek in the Torah? Noach Ish Tzedek.
Tzedek, yeah.
So if he's the son of Noah,
Malkitzedek.
We're using this name Malkitzedek.
Very good.
We're drawing the
I like it.
Like we're using this Tzedek, righteous man
good.
Approach.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Excellent. Okay, let's keep going. You guys are doing good. Here we go. Source number 3, the Rashbam. Okay, the Rashbam always gives us the very, very most basic explanation, right? Without any midrashim, just reading the text, what does it mean? Malki tzedek melach shalem. Says Rashbam, lakach hifzik bein vayetzei melach sadom levayomer melach sadom. Meaning, v'kasev bein tayim umalki tzedek melach shalem hotzi lechem yayin. Meaning, what? There's a weird thing. Melach sadom shows up, and before he can open his mouth, Malki Tzedek shows up and brings food. Like, what? Why is there this? Why did it happen in the middle? Why did you put that in the middle there? So he says, "Lalamdenu sha'emes heishiv Avram lamelach Sodom." Okay, that really Avram told the truth to the king of Sodom. Because sha'amar lo biladai rak asher achlu ani arim v'lo amar achalnu ki hu achal mishal Malki Tzedek. Meaning, what he wants to say is that I really didn't eat anything. Right, I really didn't take anything. I just took Malki Tzedek's things. Like, I didn't take anything from you, right? And the purpose of having that there is to sort of, it's just to like explain the language that Avram's going to say later to Malki Tzedek, have Malki Tzedek show up. So they put him there, even though it seems like it's out of order, to make what Avram's statement says and make it true. Okay, that's a very like literarily technical reason for putting him here. Fine.
It's a few psukim later.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Fine. Okay, look at the Ramban says. V'yizkir v'hu kohen le'el ayom. Why are you telling me he's a kohen? L'hodiya ki Avram lo haya noten meiser l'kohen l'elohim acherim. Right, Avram's not giving. Why is he kohen le'el ayom? He's not going to stam a kohen. Because the word kohen just means priest.
Right.
You have all over through Tanakh. Kohanim for a Baal. Kohanim for other Avodah Zarah. Right, so Kohen le'elayon, to explain to you, if he's giving money, giving him a gift, it's only because he's a Kohen to Hashem. Okay? What does that mean? I don't know. There was some Hashem worship, I guess, that was going on at the time. And so he was part of that. Aba mipnei sheyedabo, shu Kohen le'elayon, nasan lo hamayisul lekabat Hashem. So how's he going to give something back to Hashem? You give it to someone who is a Kohen to Hashem, right? If you want to support valuable things for Torah, you support Talmid Chachamim, you support a yeshiva. That's a way of giving back. You can't give Hashem anything, right? So what do? You give to things that are Kavod Shemayim. You give to a shul. You give to things that are create Kavod Shemayim. That's your way of giving to Hashem in a certain sense. V'shem yotzi zaro hamayser v'atruma v'shem yivarchu es Hashem. Fine. So he does. Oh, sorry. V'haremez la'avram. He said, "What's the remez? for Avram, the symbol. Kishem Yisham Yiyah Beis Elokim. That place would end up being a place of Hashem. Visham Yotzi Zaro HaMaiser V'HaTrumah. That's the place where his children eventually would actually give Truman Maiser. Again, symbolic. Maiser Avosim Labanim. There's going to be like a similarity of these things happening all in the same place. Avram Avinu is, performs the Akedah at where? At Har Moriah, where his children will eventually build a Beis HaMikdash. We have that all the time. The things that happen in Eretz Yisrael are all symbolic of what's going to happen later on. Fine. Yes, Shalem means that he comes to Shalem, he comes whole, or does he come to a place called Shalem? Yes, good. And some explain, by the way, are we going to see this here, I think, that Melchizedek, Melech Shalem, that what's the place called Shalem eventually becomes Yerushalayim. Right, that Yerushalayim ends up changing its name to Yerushalayim. And that the idea of Melchizedek being Kohen Elayon in a place called Shalem shows that already then there was a recognition that Yerushalayim was a Makom Kadosh. And they had like a priest there who talked about God. We all think there's only Avram who talked about Hashem. It wasn't only Avram. There were other people, not a lot, but there were other people who were talking about God. And so he shows up in that moment to have this conversation when Avram is successful fighting him for Kavod Shamayim, and Melchizedek joins the party. And maybe it makes more sense now because like they're on the same team in a certain sense. Well, Melchizedek is, if he's Shem ben Noach, then he comes first. But for whatever reason, to the question of Yikomomics, like, why didn't God choose Shem?
Right.
It's a good question also, right? I don't know. Maybe Shem didn't have the same people skills. Maybe he didn't have the same ability to spread the name like Avram did. I don't know why he didn't choose Shem. But he chooses Avram. It's good. That's a different, interesting, different shear. Like, why did not choose Shem? But clearly they're on the same team here, right? And that's why Shame comes up again, over and over again. It's like supporting cast. You know, where does Yaakov Avinu go? Yeshiva Shame Vaver. Like, there's something that Chazal understood, that Shame didn't just disappear, that his influence remained present in some way, and so he gets like credit along the way for giving chizik.
Well, right? There's going to be people learning in his yeshiva.
Okay, but did he have a yeshiva? I don't know if he had a yeshiva. But I'm just saying, like, but there's...
No,
but
the, I'm saying when
what Chazal is telling us is that there's an impact of Shame here still, right? It didn't, like, go away. Right? It didn't just go away. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going. I want to get to the right last couple of things. So let's look at the Kli Yakar, but we'll have to see if we're going to stay on this for a long time. Baruch says the Kli Yakar, source number 15. The Kli Yakar, by the way, like Rashi, Rashbam, Ramban, or Rishonim. Rashi's like the year 1050 to 1104, whatever. Rashbam's his grandson. Rashi's grandson. Ramban's 1200s, right? Kli Yakar is now 1700s for a final entrance. So he's like Achronim now. Okay? So Kli Yakar says the following. Baruch Avram le'elayon konei shamayim v'aretz lamayla ne'amar v'hu kohen le'elayon v'lo v'izkir konei shamayim v'aretz. So before he just said that he was kohen of elayon, but not, didn't mention the sky, you know, heaven and earth. Lefisha kodim sheba Avram hayanikra kadosh baruch hu el elayon ki lo haisa malchu so yitbarach nikar batachtonim. Until Avram came, there were people who still knew about God, but God was where? He was in Shemayim. They didn't think about Hashkachas Hashem in the world. They knew there was God. Right? Maybe Shem taught them about God. Mm-hmm. But God was like up here. When Avram shows up, God is now down here. Meaning, not that he actually came down here, but that now people are starting to recognize Hashem's hand in the world. Kamboshe Perish Rashi, Al Pasuk, Hashem Lokeh Shemayim Eshel Kachani Beis Avi. V'Avram Hikneh Shemayim V'Aretz LaHashem. And Avram was the one who kind of like made it possible that people would see Shemayim and Aretz belong to Hashem. Ki pirsim lakol mitziyuso yisbarach b'tachtonim, because he was the one who would say, "Hey, you have come into my Chabad house, have something to eat. Oh, you should make a bracha. Why should I make a bracha? There's someone who made this for you. Who? Oh, Hashem. Who's Hashem? Right? And Avram would make people see that what you have in your hands in this world belongs to Hashem. Right? So that was what Avram brought to the world. But that's why Melchizedek, right, is the Kohen le'Elyon, but when he now visits Avram, and now Avram is Avram talks about Hashem as Kohen Shemayim v'Aretz. He's now like doubling, he's like progressing from where Melchizedek was in the world. Take a look at the next paragraph, Davar Acher. Shemilchila haya Elyon, ki amru ein hashkachaso yibarach v'mash lamata migagal hayareach. Right, because until now, Hashem was Kel Elyon, because people said, yeah, God's up there. Right? This, the moon shifts, that must be God. But what's happening down here? No. However, by a day milchama zu, from this war, ro'o ayin ba'ayin, ki hu gam elokei ha'aretz. From this war, they saw, whoa, there's got to be a God here. Why? Because Avram by himself, with 318 men, defeats all these. Can you imagine a war that would make everyone see Yad Hashem in the world, right? Right? But people say, what? Who is this Avram guy? What's happening here? Right? Baruch Hashem le'elyon konei shamayim v'aretz. What would that tell you about why Malki Tzedek shows up? Why does Malki Tzedek arrive in this moment? I'm not saying that the Kliyak are saying this, but what would you say, according to this pshat, that there's like this progression happening in terms of the way people view God's role in the world? Why would that explain why Malki Tzedek wants to show up in this moment and bring food?
He sees where the power is. He wants to be part of it.
Okay, so maybe he wants to be part of it.
Well, it's a recognition of God's participation and ongoing participation. So he wants to acknowledge that and connect to the person that's like chosen by God to
do this.
Yeah.
He's handing over the reins now. Ah.
Or maybe it's like, oh, this is what I've been working at all this time. Mm-hmm. And Avram, you're making it happen. Yeah. Right? You're now doing that thing that was up here is now coming down here, and people are starting to really see this. And he's like, we got to celebrate this. This is important. This is not just a war, right? This is a moment of reflection. And what do you do in moments like that? You make a kiddush, right? So you have you bring wine and bread, you bring food, you make a sudas hodah, a recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like, guys, like God is here. Right? And now people are starting to see it, Avram, because of you. Right? And that's when he shows up. Baruch Hashem Elyon, Konei Shemayim V'Aretz. It's like, guys, it's happening. Right? And Avram says, yeah, it is. Right? And he responds to him. Right? It's almost like this, they're working together here to make clear this is not just a battle that they won. Right? And how would that explain now why Avram refuses to take any money?
Because he'll get what he needs from Hashem.
Okay.
It's all from Hashem, the victory.
Good. If he takes money, then it becomes like a this world war. Mm. It becomes a Gashmius war. Mm. If he wins and takes nothing, this is like a war for God.
Spiritual.
Right, this is a spiritual. There's a spiritual perspective here.
It's more impressive.
Yeah. More impressive. But it's also like, that's not the goal here. The goal is not what I'm going to get from it. The goal is that I'm here to do something to show the world that there's a God in heaven.
Yeah.
And God down here.
If Malki Tzedek is like, I mean, presumably by the title and the way he's introduced, it seems like he must be this relatively known figure.
Spiritual person.
And then coming to meet Avram, it's validating of like who you are and what you did.
Right.
Like my being here validates you, right?
Bing.
Like
if we have Bingo.
Someone chashuv at our school,
right.
Like that validates, wow. Like, oh, we're a place to be.
Right.
So it's similar there. And then also, it didn't occur to me that there were like other people who were God-fearing.
Right.
Like, you thought of it as just Avram, but really, it's just, apparently, there were others. Just, he was one of the most influenced.
Right.
But now, we have two people coming together. This is, like, the first time that we have these, like, bigger people it's not just Avram with all these people who believe differently from him, but it's the first time he's getting to come together with someone that has the same faith as him, and it happening as a result of the win of this war, like, that's it's just like strengthening the validity.
It's solid. It continues to solidify the foundation,
mm-hmm.
Right? That this is what we're here to do, and there's more than just me doing this, right? Now Malki Tzedek shows up. Like, I'm with you. We're gonna do this together. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't really do it together. And then Malki Tzedek doesn't like hang out. You don't find him like hanging around so much.
Missed opportunity.
According to the Medrash, that Avram's grandchildren and grandchildren still hang out with him, right? They spend time with him, but there's a certain validation here. About the Hemek Davar, the Netziv in source number 6. Now we're moving into the 1800s. Says something even more than that. He says, "Hifsik akasuv davar malchi tzedek bein yitzias melech sodom ledvarav." Why does Malki Tzedek come in the middle here? Stone melech sodom shows up, Malki Tzedek back to Sodom. What's happening here? Lamdenu de tshuvas Avram balash on kel elyon konei shemayim v'aretz lamad mi Malki Tzedek. How do you know to call God elyon konei shemayim v'aretz? Well, the first one who said it was Malki Tzedek, mm-hmm. Not Avram. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't explain so much here, but I've heard other explanations that in a certain sense, Malki Tzedek, Avram could be, and this is a little bit of a different approach, that Avram's successful, has all his money, he's like, Avram had been like men in the tent, Chabad house, and now all of a sudden he becomes a warrior. And he's successful in that, and everyone's coming out to greet him, and the kings are coming out to tell him, wow, what a great job you did. And it starts a little bit go to your head a little. And Malkut Tzedek shows up like, Avram, Avrami. Me Hashem yatsa davar. This is not from you. This is Hashem. And Avram's like, right. Baruch Hashem l'kel yon kanesh in my words. Right? He's like a reminder to him to keep his head on straight and not to lose focus. Right? And he's there as a reminder that, Avram, remember what this is for? Yeah. Avram knew, but all of us get caught up and tripped up and we sometimes lose focus. And that Malkut Tzedek comes to be that reminder for him of what this is all about. There's a sefer that David Schwartz talked about actually on Shabbos by Judy Klitzner, I think her name is. I don't really know who that is, but she wrote a book. And she talks about that's different. I think I mentioned this a couple years ago, that she talks about different stories in Tanakh that like overlay each other. And one of them is the story of Yisro and the story of Malkut Tzedek. And if you look at them carefully, we won't do it right now, actually there's a lot of similarities. Like sort of like a non-Jew who shows up and recognizes God and kind of reminds everyone about God and blesses Hashem for that thing that happened that he wasn't there for, right? All those things happen with Yisro and all those things happen with Malkut Tzedek. And both are Kohanim. Yisro is Kohen Yan. Malkut Tzedek is Kohen El Yom Kodesh Mayavar. There's a lot of similarities there. But the point there is that what's Yisro show up for? To teach Moshe how to do things better. And he's there as a teacher and a guide. So in a certain sense, it could be that Malkut Tzedek, like the Netziv also says on his own, is there sort of as a guide for Avram, a reminder, right, where he's supposed to be thinking at that moment. Okay. Two more approaches I want to show you, or ideas. Source number 7 is, oh, sorry, 3? I don't know, we'll see. I don't know if we have time. We'll see. Source number 7 is Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimshon Fall Hirsch. He says the following very interesting idea. These two verses show a sharp contrast between two rulers. The king of Sodom, who was humiliated by Avram's victory. Why was he humiliated?
It was 318 men against his own army.
Well, they had to save him, right? He's the one who gets saved, right? But yes, but yeah. But like, well, he couldn't do it himself, and he's Avram, like the yeshiva guy, shows up to like defeat his... It's so weird, right? It's like embarrassing, right? Nevertheless, failed to join Avram's band in the pursuit of the enemy. But he doesn't... We say we're deeply indebted to him, but he doesn't join him. And now that the victory has been won, he goes out as a king to meet Avram. He thinks that he's done Avram sufficient honor by greeting him as an equal. Why, what's the place called? Emek Shave. What does the word Shave mean in Hebrew?
Equal.
It's the place of equals. Okay? Although in fact, he's about to request a favor from Avram. The king of Sodom knows how to ask for favors and to make demands, but to refresh the weary with a piece of bread or a drink of wine, this they did not teach in Sodom, not even as part of the code of manners. Not so Malkut Tzedek, king of Shalem, who had not been involved in the incident. He brought out bread and wine, for he was a priest of God, the Most High. Thus we see that the conception of a highest God, Eloha de Eloha, as our sages put it, had never been forgotten even among the polytheistic nations, right? Meaning that there were still people who believed in one God. It appears, however, that this God too was regarded merely as a highest God. He too had his own distinct sphere. He too, like, you know, go down on the next page here, on the right side.
Okay.
Like all, this is the way the book is. The sefer itself goes backwards in letters. Like all gods subordinate to him, had a sanctuary and a dwelling place. Even so, two conceptions immediately stand out here. A, this God's sphere of power is a place of shalom, peace and salvation. This shalom depends on tzedek, on the just and charitable acts of man. Even in Yeshua's time, the king of Shalem was called Adoni Tzedek, like Malkut Tzedek in his time. Thus the concept tzedek and shalom were always paired. These two concepts, tzedek and shalom, comprise the essence of Judaism's whole message to humanity. But in Malkut Tzedek's time, all this was fulfilled only in its own special sphere. It's very similar to what the Rishonim were saying, right? There was like Hashem was up there, but not down in the world, right? The one and only God of Judaism was considered merely the highest of the gods. The significance that Judaism attaches to the whole world was considered the special quality of one particular place. And the collective human mission of Judaism was the practice of only a local order of priests. In what place, presumably? Shalem, right? Just as they had a god of licentiousness, who they served by licentiousness, a god of war, whom they served by slaughter, a god of revenge, whom they served by revenge, so they had a god of justice, who was the highest god, and the way to serve him was by leading a righteous life. In the domain of such a god, peace reigned. But the point being that there was this idea of like, yeah, like we know that like Malkut Tzedek has his god, but he was always like the greater of the gods, rather than the only god. And maybe that's where Avram's chiddush, right? And how Malki Tzedek is sort of passing this on to Avram, is that not just El Elyon, but El Elyon Koneh Shemayim Va'aretz. He's the God everywhere. Hashem is here, right? He's the God everywhere, right? He's not God. He's not the best God. He is the only God. And that is what is brought in this moment. But I want to share with you one last idea. There's a sefer called Emek Halacha. You don't have it on your page. Written by Yeshua Baumol. And he's a rabbi in Brooklyn in the 1920s. And he argues that after the war is over, everyone starts to look at Avram like a little different. Avram was always like chesed guy. And now Avram becomes vicious, warrior,
yeah.
Murdering the enemy guy. And like, everyone, like, he comes back and like, he doesn't look like the same that he was before, right? And people start to get nervous, like, is this the same guy? And in fact, he argues also, that's why they end up back Emek Shaveh. It's like, ah, Avram, you've now become one of us. You're just a regular guy. You're not so holy, right? In which case, why does Malki Tzedek show up? What does he show up with? Lechem and Yayin, with bread and with wine. There's one thing that is unique about bread and wine and different in the halachos of brachos than all other items. What is that? Usually if you take an item, you take an orange mm-hmm. and you squeeze it until just juice comes out. Mm-hmm. So the bracha goes from Bere Pre'etz to Shakol Nivara. Right? Any item that you take and you grind it up and change it, its bracha is degraded. What are the only items for which the bracha is elevated? Bread and grapes, right? Wheat is adama, becomes hamotz lechem min aretz, unique bracha only for it. And wine, right? Grapes become, bre pre'etz become bre pre'agafen, a unique bracha on only a very specific type of drink. And what he argues, in I say al derech drush, in a very beautiful way, is that yes, Avram have changed. But you think, he says, that Avram have changed in a negative way, right? There's a concept in Gemara called you can be mishtana legreyusa. It can be changed to its detriment to become less, like the orange that becomes juice, right? Or it can be mishtana lemalyusa. It can change in a way that actually allows it to grow. And Malki Tzedek shows up with bread and wine specifically as symbolic chevra melech sadom, get out of here. Like charges into the middle of the conversation. You think you're an Emek Shaveh, you're not going to make a deal with Avram, you're going to make him wealthy, he's going to become a king just like you're a king of some place, and you're just going to like be the same as him? Not happening. Right? Baruch Hashem lekel yon kanei shamayim va'aretz. Avram is not like you guys. Avram is elevated, and his war is elevated. And Chalila v'chas to think that the war that he wages is just like every other war. It is not like every other war. It is unique and different from any other war because it is waged l'shem shamayim. And therefore, don't think for a second that Avram has become downgraded. Actually, just the opposite. Avram has become mishtana l'mal yusa. He's become elevated by the war that he fights. Why? Because he fights it l'shem shamayim. He doesn't fight it to kill. He doesn't fight it to harm. He doesn't fight it for his own needs. That's why he takes no money. It doesn't take anything. It's not about me. I'm doing it because Lot needs to be saved, because this needs to be taken care of. Because bad people need to be knocked out of the way who are abusing other people. I'm there to fight them off. And therefore, it's elevated. Nevinsal notes that Nevinsal is the Rav of the old city. Nevinsal spent a lot of time visiting army bases during the war. Actually, Eitan Martin, who was the way beginning of the war, lives here, who went, he sent me a picture way at the beginning of the war of Nevinsal visiting them on their base. And Nevinsal said, Avram is called Ha'ivri, we saw at the way beginning, the first time where? In war. Because that is what it means to be a Jew, is to fight war in a different way than anyone else fights war. Right? That's where you see it the most. Right? And by the way, anything that the world says about us, we know, is always the opposite. And whatever thing they we commit genocide, so it's the opposite. We're fighting off genocide, right? Whatever it is that they say, it's always the opposite, right? So you say that we're the worst army in the world. So then you know for sure it's because we're actually the most kaddish army in the world, right? And that we through war we elevate the people. These soldiers who come back from war have become greater people, not worse people. Chalila, they've been changed. They need support, but they've been changed in this elevated way. Yeah.
I got an email, I don't remember from where, specific to Tehillim to say more in Israel than here. And one of them, and I say Tehillim a lot,
One of them was Kuf Yud, and Kuf Yud alludes to Avraham. David wrote it about a warrior, and that was one of the ones that was picked.
Beautiful. It's appropriate to cry.
To show the justification.
Yeah.
The same way, going all the way back to Avraham. And he had the Mateh. David refers to the Mateh in Kuf Yud.
Mm-hmm.
But for strength.
Right.
And justification.
Right. Right. If you don't need, but yes, right. But correct. Absolutely. That point that Avram, it's also Masa Avos Shem Labanim. And we have this throughout all of the Sefer Bereishis. You have things that the Avos did, which become the symbolic of what's going to be for us in the future. And Avram, as the first warrior, is exactly that same thing. So I thought it's such a beautiful message, right? The Chalila was not to say that Mishtana Legrayusa, that the change happens is a negative. Just the opposite, the change is, it's like taking grapes and turning them into wine. It's like taking bread and taking wheat and turning it into bread. Because that place is a place of holiness, and it's a place that brings the world to a place of recognizing Baruch Hashem Kelayon, not just Konei Shemayim, but also Konei Shemayim. Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great day, and we'll see you next.